Blog Talk Radio.
We have some more approvals in Donald Trump's cabinet. Well, not his cabinet, his picks, his appointments. We have some resignations. I think people are too happy over that because I don't think it. I don't think it's going to be as good of an ending as some people think it's going to be. Let me just put it like that. One of Trump's top people decided, you know what, we're done here, I'm going to resign, / he was actually fired. But, I mean, I think the replacement's probably going to be worse, so I don't know why that would be, you know, grounds for celebration, but people are, you know, walking around with feeling like they just beheaded somebody, a partisan beheading. Yay, we got somebody bad to go away, and maybe we'll be replaced by somebody worse. But I do have some silliness sprinkled in today's show as well. Later on, we got Alex Jones, and he has a new theory on demon possession for us. So that should be good. Alex Jones loves to keep it super scientific. Oh, what a silly person. And the explosion in popularity of him. Man, isn't that strange? Like, I told you guys this already, but the other day I saw some of the Alex Jones, Joe Rogan podcast, and it's got like damn near 3 million views, which is, I don't know if it's a record for Rogan in terms of that short amount of a time span getting that many views, and it's overwhelmingly thumbs up, and I'm like, geez, the guy starts talking about intergalactic fucking aliens, and people don't see the bullshit, or are they just liking it because it basically feels like performance art? I don't know. I really don't know, but either way, it's not good. So I also have some stuff later on today, if we have the time to get to it, about speech. There seems to be a free speech crackdown happening in Europe that we'll talk about, and a bone-chilling article about a new law that was passed in Russia. Wait until you get a load of that. So, but I guess I could start. You know what? I didn't even prep a segment for the resignation, but I could just wing a segment on that because I already know, you know, the basic facts, what I have to know here. So let's go ahead and get started, and I'll do that with Michael Flynn. So Michael Flynn, who's, of course, one of Donald Trump's top foreign policy advisors, he resigned yesterday. Now, the reality is he didn't resign. He was fired, and he was fired because there was a bunch of pressure from the media in the past few days because it came out that Michael Flynn lied. He lied to the administration. He lied to everybody and in regards to his connections with Russia. Apparently, he had a phone call with the Russian ambassador, and he told the Russian ambassador in not so many words, yeah, we're probably going to lift sanctions that the Obama administration put on you, so pump your brakes, relax a little bit. We're going to, you know, it's me and Trump now, and it's our administration, and that might lead to some positive things for you. That's more or less what he said. And, of course, there were questions about not just Michael Flynn, but Paul Manafort as well, who used to be one of Trump's top campaign guys. He had clear business connections with Russia, like a like a history of it, and he was with pro-Russian folks in Ukraine, and he had business deals and whatnot. So, so he stepped down. It was allegedly over that. I'm actually skeptical because we've known all along that, you know, Michael Flynn had this going on. At least I did. And I honestly didn't think much of it. I mean, I don't like it for the same reason I wouldn't like it if somebody in Hillary Clinton's administration had close ties with a foreign government for just basically, you know, corrupt reasons. But in terms of the effect on foreign policy when it comes to war and peace, that didn't bother me because if anything, I felt like, oh, if you de-escalate more with Russia, that'd be a good thing. We want to, you know, move away from the brink of fucking World War III, like we were kind of on there with sending our NATO troops right to Russia's border and escalating further over Syria and Crimea. So, and I guess it's also a slightly separate thing. If he says, I'm going to remove the sanctions for the ones Obama did at the last minute before he left, those Russia sanctions, and those were allegedly over, you know, the DNC fuckery going on where the people are saying, oh, it was Russia that leaked the information, the DNC emails to WikiLeaks, and then WikiLeaks released it. So Obama did sanctions over that. If they're talking about removing those sanctions, I actually agree because I think the evidence isn't conclusive, and even if they did do it, it's almost like par for the course. You have to expect that from everybody's trying to hack everybody. Every world government is trying to hack every world government. And the fact that they got away with it because your security sucks balls, it's almost like, okay, well, score one for you guys. Now we better regroup and fix our security and all that other stuff. But no, though, so they sanctioned them over that. If they're talking about removing sanctions for Crimea, that I think is a little bit of a different story, and I would not remove sanctions over the Crimea situation. I think it's a totally separate thing, and I think that's more complicated. And if those are the sanctions they're talking about possibly removing, then I have a problem with it. So, but either way, there's a lot of Democrats who are really happy today because, okay, down goes Michael Flynn, and that means one less asshole in Trump's administration. Because remember, outside of the Russia thing, Michael Flynn really is a concerning character for many reasons. I mean, he's on the board of a designated hate group, and, you know, he's made some comments that are very questionable. He seems to buy into Steve Bannon's worldview of, no, there really is a war going on right now between Christianity and Islam. And so two major world religions are basically at war. We agree with that. We believe in that. We understand that framework, and we're going to carry that out. So that's concerning enough. That, you know, so don't get me wrong. Am I happy he's gone? Sure, of course I am. He's not a good character. But my point is the reason why most Democrats are happy that he's gone, the Russia thing, I think is a mixed picture. Because here's my concern. He's almost certainly going to be replaced with somebody who's significantly more hawkish on the issue of Russia. And if that's the case, so if you have, like, you know, an equal anti-Muslim fervor in the next guy, which is conceivable because there are many people on the far right who agree with Flynn in that anti-Muslim fervor, but you also mix that in with the anti-Russian sentiment and the person is more hawkish on Russia, well, then it was actually a net loss because you had Flynn who would have been slightly better on one of the issues and, you know, it would have been better to just keep him in place, even with the massively questionable conflicts of interest and stuff. So, but we actually know who's replacing him. Michael Flynn has been replaced by a breakfast cereal. He's been replaced by Kellogg's. I'm kidding. His name's Keith Kellogg, the guy who's replacing him. Now, there's not much information on this guy out there yet, but if you do a preliminary search and you Google it and you try to find out, the first thing that comes up is Keith Kellogg was in charge of the transition government in Iraq. On that alone, I might say I prefer Flynn to him, because the transition government in Iraq was probably the most bungled effort in military history in the world. Not just the United States, in the world. Remember what happened? Like, they fucking purged the entire army, fired all the civil servants. That brought up a great amount of unrest and a great amount of anger, and there were people who went from kind of agreeing with the toppling of Saddam to almost overnight to having this anti-American sentiment and thinking, why are you fucking up our country? I mean, you can't do that. You can't go in and topple somebody and say you're doing it for humanitarian reasons and then fire everybody. And then they go, what the fuck? I thought, what's going on here? So So on that alone, I might say Flynn is preferable to this guy, because this guy is the most ridiculous fucking failure that there's ever been. The Iraq transition, honestly, I can't overstate how horrific the Iraq transition was. I mean, there were stories about how they made a plan on a fucking cocktail napkin. They had no plan. Bush toppled Saddam. He's like, oh, damn. All right, what do I do now? And Cheney's in the corner, you know, like a vampire sucking blood out of a baby's neck. And he's like, I don't care. I just want her to kill people. And, you know, here in step Kellogg's breakfast cereal. And no offense to Kellogg's breakfast cereal. You're lovely. Keith Kellogg. Keith Kellogg said, I'll fuck it up for everybody. Oh, great. And now Trump's like, I love this. Drain the swamp. Drain the swamp. Oh, my God. The Iraq war disaster. Sad. Sad. Anyway, let me get the guy who was in charge of the transition government who bungled everything to come in here. He was the COO, the chief operating officer of the Iraq transition government. And Trump's like, let me hire that guy. What a fucking con. What a fraud. Bernie Sanders said it. Trump is a fraud. Everything he said that was like populist and anti-establishment, it's just a fraud. Yeah, I was against the Iraq war. Iraq war is terrible, sad, wrong. Anyway, let me hire the guy who was like one of the most responsible people for all the failures. So anyway, I'm doing this segment to explain to everybody. There were a lot of partisan cartwheels being done yesterday. Like, yay, we got Flynn. And who the fuck do you think is going to replace him? Somebody just as bad or worse. You know, it's, again, it was the same thing for people calling for impeachment. Like, oh, impeach, impeach, impeach. And get fucking Christian Crusader Mike Pence, who manages to make himself look more dignified as he does almost exactly all the same shit that Trump would do, and maybe even more uber religious. The guy who said my career, I give credit for my career to Rush fucking Limbaugh, the guy who argued on the floor in Congress that evolution, you know, isn't right and we should go with intelligent design or creationism and teach everything. That's the guy you're going to be, oh, we got rid of Trump and, oh, we replaced him with somebody who would have also not done the one good thing that Trump did, which is axe TPP. Like, you got to, I don't know, you just got to be reasonable about this stuff, man. I know people were like, yay, we got a victory. But that's not a victory. That's the point I'm trying to get across to you. If the situation is you're either going to get somebody just as bad or worse, well, that's either equal or a loss. So you're just happy because somebody resigned / was fired. I want more than that. You know, maybe I'm naive, maybe I'm idealistic, you call me whatever the fuck you want to call me, but you know, I'm not happy with all of Trump's picks getting approved. I'm not happy with that. That's not enough for me. So, oh, we got a symbolic victory, but, yeah, everybody who he picked and the entire fucking swamp is now approved. So we have to fight back, and we have to fight back in a strong way and an unapologetic way, and when it's time to obstruct, I would obstruct in the most vicious, vehement way possible. But when it's time to hold them accountable, I'll just hold them accountable because those are two different things. Holding accountable means you said you're not going to cut Social Security. Now we're going to hold you to that. If you obstruct him when he says, I'm not going to cut Social Security, then that means you want to cut Social Security. So you got to do a mix of both, but you got to be smart about it. And I feel like people are it's a low bar for what feels good right now on the left. And I don't agree with that low bar. You should still have high standards. And this Flynn situation isn't something to really be super happy over. Okay. All right, now let's go to Steve Mnuchin. The Senate approved Steve Mnuchin for Treasury Secretary yesterday. He received 53 votes in favor. The only Democrat who voted for him, you want to take a guess? Joe Manchin, West Virginia, Mr. Blue Dog himself. So he's, of course, from a deeply red state, so he feels like, well, I have to act like a Republican to get elected, even though I'm a Democrat. I think that's a stupid point of view, and it's not true, and recent elections prove that. But nonetheless, that's the direction that he went in. Because, you know, people in West Virginia, if there's one thing they love, it's Goldman Sachs lackeys. Because that's what Steve Mnuchin is. So for those of you who still don't know the basic facts about Steve Mnuchin here, he is the swamp. I love how right after he got approved, I looked at his Wikipedia page, and people had changed his name to Satan. That did make my day. I was like, oh, thank goodness. People are out there like, ah, fuck you. So Mnuchin's worth $500 million, so he's relatively poor for the Trump administration. He ran One West Bank, which he took over during the subprime mortgage crisis and the Great Recession. And when he took it over, he went on a foreclosure spree. So One West Bank was involved very directly in reverse mortgages. So they ended up foreclosing on a lot of senior citizens. Stay classy. He was in charge of this. And then, of course, he worked for Goldman Sachs for about 17 years. Yay! So, again, anytime Trump says, at this point, if anybody who voted for Trump still tries to tell you he's anti-establishment or he's draining the swamp or any of that stuff, laugh in their fucking face. Or tell them they're an idiot or tell them they're ignorant, depending on what the facts of the situation are. But it's one or the other. Because there's no – if Hillary had appointed this guy, there would be a meltdown. But Donald Trump appointed him, and his defenders are still defending him. Why are you defending him? I would attack Hillary Clinton for this ruthlessly, because she would deserve it if she's appointing fucking Goldman Sachs bitch to be Treasury Secretary. So you should do the same for Donald Trump. And don't give me, oh, he's, you know, qualified in the field. He's not. His whole career, by the way, he's been directly involved with multiple hedge funds. His entire career has been on the opposite equation of opposite side of the equation of public service. So it's all about private ventures. It's all about profit. Now, look, if you want to go down that path, it's a free country. You do whatever the fuck you want to do. But don't come later and say, no, 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 I'm totally qualified and I should do something like be Treasury Secretary because I have such a track record of giving a shit about the people, which is what you're supposed to do. If you're going to be Treasury Secretary, you're Treasury for the United States of America, not for you, not for your hedge fund buddies, not for Goldman Sachs, not for the elites. But that's what he's going to do. So this is the swamp taking over. And I'm sick of all the picks that are so outside of the realm of debate and respectability. Like, I get it. It's not a Democratic administration. I'm not going to get picks that I like. It wouldn't be people that I would pick. I get it. I understand that. But you're going to pick people who fundamentally go against even what you said on the campaign trail and people who are the biggest representatives of the establishment. You're going to pick a fast food CEO who's the next one that they're going to vote on, by the way, Puzder. And meanwhile, this guy doesn't even believe in the minimum wage. This guy is an Ayn Rand loyalist. He wrote a book where he explains how his philosophy is like Ayn Rand's. He doesn't even believe in labor. He wants to move towards full automation. So he's not going to be a bulwark fighting for the people in a changing economy where you need the labor secretary on your side to make sure policy is crafted in a way that doesn't leave you starving and fucking broke and unemployed. You're picking guys like that. You're picking Betsy DeVos, a Christian fundamentalist school privatizer who bought her position because she bought damn near the entire Republican Party. You're going to pick her for education secretary? Guys, these things are not debatable. These are not people who, in a world that made sense, these are not people who would even be in the conversation. Betsy DeVos is the last person I would ever pick to be education secretary. You know, a Goldman Sachs bitch boy is the last person I would ever pick to be Treasury Secretary. Guys, Goldman Sachs, I don't think you understand it. Like, I feel like some people, when they hear Goldman Sachs, it's like, if they're not in the left bubble, they think, like, why do you guys hate, like, Goldman Sachs? Okay, so they're your whipping boy, and you always bring them up, but you never explain why it is that they're such a problem, so why am I supposed to believe that they're a problem? They're a problem because their fucking business model was fraud. So during the right before the subprime mortgage crisis and the Great Recession, what they would do is they would sell these subprime mortgage packages to unsuspecting clients. Now, by the way, those packages were rated AAA even though they were dog shit. How were they rated AAA? Well, there was a giant scam going on with the ratings agencies where they would get paid more to label things AAA when they weren't AAA. So all these motherfuckers should be in jail on that alone. But it's worse than that. They sell it to these unsuspecting clients saying, you're going to make a lot of money off these subprime mortgage packages. I mean, this is a great investment. Lo and behold, what else they would do is turn around and vote against those same packages that they just sold like they were great. They would bet on those packages to fail, so they knew they were dog shit. So you make money two ways. Conning the sucker who you just fed misinformation and gave them this package, and then betting on that same package to fail. There's the word for that is fucking fraud. It's like a car salesman selling you a car and then turning around and betting another car salesman, I bet you this motherfucker can't even drive it out of the lot. Because another car salesman takes the bet, so you get money both ways. You made money off the bet that the car wouldn't get out of the lot, and you just sold a car that had no fucking engine, even though you told the person it had the best engine ever. So, and this, he was at Goldman Sachs for 17 fucking years. You can't be at Goldman Sachs for 17 years without direct understanding and involvement of the kind of fuckery going on behind the scenes. And I'm just giving you one example. I'm sure there's shit going on there that I didn't even know about. I'm positive of it. So you have this criminal organization which is fucking over everybody in sight to get rich. And now that guy, instead of being in a prison cell, which is where he belongs, he's Treasury Secretary. Beyond unacceptable. I have no words for how egregious this is. This is grotesque. So the fact that he got through, and the fact that Joe Manchin voted for him, I mean, the Republicans, you expect them to be as fucking horrific as they are. Every single one of those Republicans, no moral compass. They don't give a fuck about what's unethical and what's corrupt. They don't care. They simply don't care. But Joe Manchin's right there with them. You know, he's the one person who's been reliably wrong on every vote. There was one vote. Oh, actually, I'm wrong. There was one vote where even Manchin voted against. It was DeVos. But everybody else, what was the most recent one that Manchin did? I don't know why I'm blanking on this, man. It wasn't Pruitt. It was, Jeff Sessions? Yeah, I think, yes. He voted for Jeff Sessions when every other Democrat was against Jeff Sessions for Attorney General. Come on, man. You're going to call yourself a Democrat, and you're going to vote for Jeff Sessions and a Goldman Sachs bitch to be Treasury Secretary, and Jeff Sessions for Attorney General, of course. Metaphorically speaking, I want Joe Manchin's head on a platter. JusticeDemocrats.com. Let's go primary these motherfuckers. Okay. Oh, boy. All right, should I take a break now? I think I should. What do you think? I think I should. Let me do that. I got some Valentine's Day music for y'all. That's funny. They're like, you know, I got some Barry White. I'll play that for you. You guys could have sex during the break. And then when I come back, we got Bernie Sanders did an interview with NBC. And he rejected the idea that there's a left Tea Party. Interesting. And then more, including the Republicans wore their immorality on their sleeve yet again. Wait until you hear about the letter they sent to Donald Trump. So stay right there, guys. We'll be right back with all that and more. We'll be right back.
so I'm gonna drop you with the left, the left. I feel like I'm the left, real nigga left, the left. It's like I'm on an island by myself, the left. Please don't make me slap you with the left, the left. You a fake, so I'm gonna drop you with the left, the left. I feel like I'm the left, real nigga left, the left. It's like I'm on an island by myself, the left. God, please protect me if this shit go left. Cause I can cook a kilo by my goddamn self. In the kitchen, water whipping with the left. I don't know women, but I know who got.
What's up, bitch? Alright, we're back.
I feel like I'm a woman being male.
We are back.
Cause I can lock a trap down by myself.
Okay, let's shoot on over to what Bernie Sanders said about the Tea Party. And I'm gonna break it down. Not sure I'm exactly with him here. All right, let's go, motherfucker. Bernie Sanders did an interview with NBC, and he rejected the idea that there's a left Tea Party in the works. So he said the following: it's not a Tea Party because the Tea Party was essentially funded by the billionaire Koch brothers family. This is a spontaneous and grassroots uprising of the American people. Okay, so this is partly true, but also partly false. So in some respects, was the Tea Party an astroturf, as they call it, organization? Yes. There were many stories of, the Koch brothers and other right-wing billionaires basically paying to bus in people to protest and handing them their signs. And then when people from the media would go to interview these people and say, hey, why are you here and why are you protesting? They'd be like, I don't know. So there were many instances of, you know, paid protests and organization from the top down. However, I do think it kind of cheapens it to only talk about it in that respect, because the reality is, yeah, there were a lot of people who were out there, and they were protesting, and on their own volition. Is that how you say it? On their own volition? That seems like a weird phrase, but let me make it simpler. They protested because they wanted to. They were out there because they actually were against the Obama administration. Now, they don't really know all the details and the policy specifics. They just know that they're angry. So there was the famous sign of keep your government hands off my Medicare. Somebody needs to talk to that guy. There's the idea that, you know, you pulled the Tea Party people, Obama raising my taxes. And then you go to the facts, and it turns out he actually cut their taxes. You know, he cut small business taxes 16 times in his first term alone. Never mind the fact he made like 90% of the Bush tax cuts permanent, and the Bush tax cuts were for those Bush tax cuts that were made permanent were for lower people who were lower on the income scale. So, yes, some of it, Bernie, was astroturf. Other aspects of the Tea Party, it was totally organic. And I think there's no problem with acknowledging that. And by the way, those people also were feeling real pain. It's not that they're not feeling real pain. It's just that their solutions are wrong and they're misguided in what they think the solutions are. The solutions to them are just get rid of the Democrats. No, the real answer is you want a social democratic party, because you poll even conservatives in this country and it turns out they're pretty social democratic. They're like, yeah, I like Medicare. Yeah, I want to end the wars. You know, you go issue for issue and all of a sudden you realize, you know, they like government health care. They like government education. They want to tax the rich more. So it's real pain that they're experiencing, and I don't agree with this idea that you just, you know, brush it all aside and say, well, the Tea Party was all astroturf. It wasn't all astroturf. But furthermore, on the point saying there's no comparison to what's happening with the left right now, that's also not true. It's true in the sense that there's just massive ideological differences on many issues. So, like, on social issues, a lot of the Tea Party people we would just totally disagree with, because a lot of them out there, hey, we want to ban abortion and we don't want gay marriage and all stuff like that. So on policy substance, there are some major disagreements. Certainly in terms of who we want in power and who we want elected, there's a major difference, just a total ideological difference there and philosophical difference. But no, what's happening on the left right now is kind of like a left Tea Party, and that's a good thing. So here's the dirty little secret people will never, or very few people will tell you. The Tea Party worked. Now, it was painted as, oh, my God, it was so radical and wrong and terrible and bad. And in many respects, it was those things. But their tactics were successful. So as of right now, what do we have? We have a majority of Republicans in state legislatures, majority Republican governors, majority in the House of Representatives, majority in the Senate, and they hold the presidency. They hold everything. They're one state legislature away from being able to amend the fucking Constitution. Think about that. So, what is it, a coincidence that in like 2009 and 2010 and onwards, there was a wave of Tea Party people elected? No. So they got elected and they said, hey, on areas where the elected Tea Party people said, on areas where we disagree with the Obama administration, the answer is no, and we're never giving up on that. So, for example, they tried to repeal Obamacare over 60 times. Now, they didn't succeed, but they're gutting it right now. They ended up getting power, and then they're gutting it right now. And you name the issue. They broke the filibuster record. So this idea that, well, if you do blind obstruction, or not blind obstruction, if you do obstruction and you hold them, the opposition party accountable, well, you're never going to win like that, except the Tea Party did that, and now the Republicans have everything. So, yes, I think we should have a Tea Party-like movement on the left, and I think we should be principled in the things we stand for and the things we fight for and uncompromising on certain things, and that's what Justice Democrats is trying to do. Yes, it's trying to be a left Tea Party that rises up and says, step aside, establishment, because remember, the Tea Party also said, fuck you to the establishment Republicans. That was their thing. Like, okay, we're done with the establishment Republicans. We think you're weak. We think you're ineffectual. We think you suck. So step aside. Why wouldn't we want that on the left? So, you know, I think Bernie's just struggling with the idea that this notion of Tea Party has become like a gross term because of the kinds of people affiliated with that movement. I mean, there were many people who would hold up the signs like Obama's a Muslim, Obama's a Kenyan, and in Bernie's mind, to link those kinds of people to people who just want single-payer health care, like there's something that feels wrong about that. But that's not where we're making – there's – a comparison, Bernie. Obviously, on those issues, we're right, they're wrong. We're not assholes, they're assholes, you name it. But in terms of the tactics, yeah, we should copy many of the tactics, and we should rise up, and there should be this wave. And I do think more of what's happening on the left is grassroots. I mean, what we're doing with Justice Dems is as grassroots as possible. We're literally telling you, hey, you should run. So, yes, get involved and run for office. Donate your $27 because we're pledging to take no corporate money and no billionaire money. And just sign your name in support of the movement. You know, go to justicedemocrats.com and do that, and that alone helps massively. So I do think Bernie's a little bit off here. There is a comparison between what we're doing and what they did. It just so happens to be that we're actually correct on all of the policy issues because the polls show the American people are with us. Okay, next. All right, now we are going to go to Republicans deciding to wear their immorality on their sleeve in a way I don't know if I've ever seen. Republican politicians decided to really show how barbaric they can be this week, and they're wearing their immorality on their sleeve. So in a letter to President Trump, Senator Jerry Moran, along with Senators Tom Cotton, Roy Blunt, Jim Inhofe, John Boozman, Tim Scott, Cory Gardner, Tom Tillis, Pat Roberts, Steve Daines, and Orrin Hatch. So you don't need to – all you need to know about them is that they're far right. Republican senators. But here's what they stated in a letter to Trump. Quote, we want to express our support for maintaining and expanding the utilization of the detention facility during your administration by detaining current and future enemy combatants who pose a threat to our national security. They wrote a letter to Trump saying, you should expand Guantanamo Bay. They're amazing, man. So, to your average Joe reading this, let's try to put ourselves in the shoes of the average Joe Republican. You know, somebody in Kentucky or West Virginia or something who, you know, is sympathetic to the Republicans and they voted Republican for their entire life. What would they say about this? They'd probably argue, all right, guys, there are bad people in the world. There are terrorists in the world. There are terrorists who want to kill us. So, yeah, you need to be tough on terrorism. You need to actually have law and order, and you need to crack down on people who are going to do us harm. And if that means you got to have Guantanamo Bay, then you have Guantanamo Bay, and you expand it, and it keeps us safe, and we should be thanking these people for keeping us safe. So that's what I think they would argue. But here's the problem with that. That's not what actually happened at Guantanamo, and that's not what continues to happen at Guantanamo. So at Guantanamo and Abu Ghraib and all these extrajudicial prisons, what we learned from various reports over the years is that when these things were set up, the Bush administration cut a deal with the government and warlords in Pakistan and Afghanistan. And they said, look, we just got attacked here on 9/11, and there's going to be payback for this. So we know that you guys have a grasp on the situation in your regions, and you know what? I think you should send us whatever jihadists that you know exist, whatever jihadists are around there and doing their thing. So what ended up happening? Just to collect the reward, you had the government in Pakistan and Afghanistan, and you had the warlords that they were cutting deals with. They shipped people to the U.S. and said, here, these are al-Qaeda. They weren't al-Qaeda. They were just their political enemies. So they shipped these innocent people, and it turns out you can't trust warlords in Pakistan. Go figure. So we ended up locking these people up indefinitely. No due process, no habeas corpus, no abiding by human rights, no abiding by international law. We tortured many of these people. And it's not just waterboarding. It's crazy that people only bring up waterboarding, because actually waterboarding is like the least offensive of the things that we ended up doing. That's a strong comment to make, because waterboarding is fucking torture and it simulates drowning. But, you know, we did anal rape, anal feeding, hypothermia torture. You throw cold water on somebody, walk out of the cell, and one time when they came back in the morning, he was dead. And come to find out, the guy they did that to was totally innocent. In fact, we know from the Senate torture report that at least 20% is what they admit, 20% of the people they tortured were innocent and didn't do anything wrong. My guess is that's just what they admit to. My guess is it's probably much higher. But even if it is somebody who is guilty or, you know, is a bad guy, what separates us from the enemy is supposed to be that we actually abide by human rights and the Geneva Convention and the Nuremberg Tribunal and fucking Magna Carta, and we're civilized even when the going gets tough. The real test of your principles is whether or not you stick to them when it's the hardest time to stick to them, not when it's the easiest. Nobody needs free speech for somebody to go out there and say, you know, apple pie is delicious and I love mother and aren't rainbows pretty. Everybody agrees to that. So why would you need free speech protections for that? Because nobody's coming to take away those rights. You need free speech protections for when somebody's spewing some hateful garbage. Because you go, hey, look, this is what a free society is. You got to have, you know, the rules in place, and you abide by them no matter what. Well, this is where, you know, we lost the plot, and the Bush administration said, when we cut corners, when we don't do due process, when we don't have habeas corpus, when we, you know, violate your protection from unreasonable search and seizure or protection from cruel and unusual punishment, it doesn't count, because we're the good guys and we mean well and they're the bad guys. But how do you even know that they're the bad guys if you didn't have a process set up to try to determine and ascertain whether or not they were good guys or bad guys? You don't know. You think guilty enough is what you think. That's it. That's your argument. Guilty enough. So when we act like barbarians, it's fine and it doesn't count. It's okay. And now you have these idiots who have so fully bought into that framework. They've chugged the Kool-Aid, and they've chugged so much of it that they're confident enough to send a letter to the president and say, how about you expand Guantanamo? Well, then what that tells me is you're stupid, but also you're ignorant. Because, look, maybe I'm giving them too much credit, but I would hope to believe that if they knew the facts I just explained to you, like if you show them all the news reports, all the innocent people that we know were innocent, who some of them finally were eventually released, like Murat Kurnaz, who was a German citizen who was picked up in Pakistan and fucking kept and tortured. He's like, what the fuck are you doing? The German government, I think, had to get him out. They're like, that's kind of our citizen. What the fuck are you doing? So I would hope that if these people know, like if Tom Cotton learned about this, Tom Cotton would say, yeah, maybe this isn't a good idea to have Guantanamo Bay, but I really don't know. You know, maybe they just don't care. Maybe maybe the feeling and the sentiment driving them is, even when we do barbaric things, I can overlook it. I can overlook it, and I think that the idea of having an extrajudicial prison is more important than actually abiding by what we proclaim our values are. But most importantly, I don't want to hear another word from any of these guys ever fucking again about the Constitution, because they don't believe in the Constitution, and they don't believe in human rights. Because if they did, they wouldn't fucking be asking to expand Guantanamo Bay. What are you, crazy? They would never ask that. So it just makes me sick, man, because this is... People like to believe that our bad guys in this country, well, they're not as bad as the bad guys in the other countries. But when you have a situation like this where you know you've locked up and tortured so many innocent people and you don't care about due process and human rights, and then they still say, yeah, fuck it, now I want to expand that, how am I supposed to not think you're as bad as the bad guys in the worst places? Because you are that. I mean, these are the same people who also... You know, they're in favor of these missions, these raids, and these drone strikes that kill countless innocent people, and they don't ever want to reevaluate. You know, Trump killed 30 innocent people in his first military raid, including an 8-year-old girl. Were any of these people upset about it or mad about it? No, they don't care. They're brown people over there. Who gives a shit? You know, he killed 18 people in the second drone strike he did, or military action he did. 18 civilians, I should say. Any word from Tom Cotton? No. Tom Cotton, Tom Tillis, Pat Roberts, Orrin Hatch, Jim Inhofe. Nothing. So they're just callous, and they're tribalists, and they love bending the values they supposedly believe in whenever it's convenient, and that's the opposite of what we should do. All right, let's go to Alex Jones and how he doubled down on his silliness. Alex Jones doubled down on his silliness since Trump got elected, so listen to his new theory that he has for us on demon possession.
And it's like some type of interdimensional blight or succubus has like attached itself to the heads of people, and it's like either they're demon possessed or they aren't. And that's what it is. I've talked to a lot of top psychologists, a lot of top PhDs, or even atheists, and they said, listen, you study enough, you look enough, you get into situations enough, you'll run into people that are clearly possessed and who even know information about you you've never told them, and they're not guessing. Something else is coming through them. And, folks, that's what this is. I don't care if the media makes fun of me. I don't care what they say, whatever. I'm telling you, folks, I look out at the crowds, I see the people, they are possessed by something. I don't know what it is. You know, most of the planet believes in demons and possession for a reason. In fact, every culture does. Because it's not them. Something's coming in. Something's been overlaid, and it's a sickness, and it's spreading, and the television is the vector. It's how they're getting through at people. It's a mind trick. They put them into a subconscious hypnosis. They admit that through the television flicker rates, the lights, all of it. And then they superimpose something until they get your free will through incrementalism to turn yourself over to it. And then it's like a intergalactic virus that then causes the individual to shut down, become a poisonous creature who begins attacking everything around them. It's a wavelength. It's
Alex Jones.
Is it just me, or over the years has he gotten, like, more and more like this? You know, there was a time when you could listen to him, and I feel like he would spend more time on the shit that was real before driving his rant off into a ditch. Like, you know, there was a time where you could listen, and he would talk about NSA spying, and they're looking in on what everybody's doing, and they got a database where they're collecting it. And this is a problem, and you got to understand that the Bush administration is violating your constitutional rights, and you know they're trying to take the natural resources from all these different countries on the planet. And you're listening to them, and you're going, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. True so far. True. 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 And then eventually it'd be, and that's why the Bilderbergs and the Illuminati's and New World Order are putting chemicals in the juice boxes to make the kids gay. And then they're, I don't know, you fill in the blank. They're trying to eliminate billions of people in the population. It's part of the plan, black helicopters, FEMA camps. And then you're like, oh, yeah, you lost it there. So it was like, correct, correct, correct. Oh, shit, now you're making stuff up. So, but he used to do more of that. Now I feel like he's limiting more and more the stuff that's true in the rants. Like now there's very little about the, you know, the NSA and your civil liberties and foreign policy and imperialism, and it's just almost right to the it's almost like there's an interdimensional blight. Okay, pause. What does that even mean? What does that mean, Alex? I don't even think you know what it means. You're just saying words. Your mouth is moving and stuff is coming out, but there's no substance there. It's an interdimensional blight, and or like a succubus. A fucking succubus. And, you know, I've spoken to many of the top PhDs and psychologists and even atheists, and they say that, you know, they're demon possession. Okay, no, you didn't. You didn't talk to them, and they didn't say that. And then, you know, it brings in the TV, and, you know, their primary vector is the television where they do the demon possession. Like, you know what really gets under my skin and pisses me off? When people go on, if you start going on like a super detailed rant, the premise of what you're basing the rant on is even total garbage. So like the premise of what he's saying is there are demons and they possess people. You haven't even proved that, but you're deep off in the woods about how, let me tell you how they possess you. They use the TV, and what they do is they come through the TV, it's the vector, and then they slowly but surely get a control of your mind, and then eventually you become a parasite, and you start attacking everything around you. Alex, what does that mean? You don't even know what that means. Stop it, stop it, stop it. He's become more, like, over, as time has gone by, he's become more of like a pseudo-religious kind of guy. Same thing happened with Glenn Beck, too. At one point, it's political, and then eventually it was like when he was overflowing with bullshit, you got to find a way to justify it and rationalize it. So add a religious angle, because religion, you know, that's a blanket. You can get away with a lot of bullshit just by saying, it's a religion, what do you mean? So then the religion angle came in, and remember when he accused Obama? He said, Obama, you know, people around him say he smells like sulfur and that he's a demon. And he accused, I think, Hillary the same thing, or Obama. There's always a fly landing on Obama. Why is that? I don't know. I'm not saying he's a demon, but he's a demon. Alex, it's just sad, man. It's just sad. And you know what really creeps me out? So I watched, I mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again. I watched the part of the Joe Rogan, Alex Jones podcast recently. And first of all, it has the most views I've ever seen at this point on a video uploaded by Rogan. It's like almost 3 million views. And there are parts of it where he starts talking about intergalactic fucking, you know, just he loses the plot at so many points where he just says ridiculous things. Some of it is true, but other stuff, most of the stuff is just garbage. But you click on the video and you look at the like rate and you're like, okay, I really hope that people are hitting like just because it's like the entertainment value of it. So it's almost performance art. If they're hitting like because it's performance art, that's great. But if they're hitting like because they really think he's telling the truth on all this shit, and they really think he represents, like, this fucking ultimate guru-like character, that's scary, man. Almost 3 million people like that, you know. I don't get it. I don't get it. Like, I feel like there came a point fairly recently where bullshitting is viewed as the new truth-telling. Like, it kind of happened with Trump. Trump presents everything he says like he's a straight shooter. The way he says it, you think, oh, he's telling the truth. Because it's, you know, no flowery nonsense, right to the point, you know. He did it all the time in the debates. And you go, oh, that feels refreshing because everybody up there is so polished, and I'm a politician, and I'm going to bullshit you in a smooth way. And Trump came along and said, no, I'm going to be a straight shooter. But in his appearance of looking like a straight shooter, it's almost all bullshit. He contradicts himself every 8 seconds, you know, and he's just like all the other politicians. Drain the swamp here. I just appointed Goldman Sachs for fucking Treasury Secretary. So, but I feel like that's the new thing that's in. Like, it is in to bullshit and say ridiculous things. But if you say it in a way and deliver it in a way that people like how you're delivering it, you get a pass and everybody likes you. And that's a scary thing, man, because that's like how cults fucking form. Like, oh, I know on some level, I know what this person's saying is bullshit, but I like how they're saying it, and I like the personality, and I like the art of it all, so I'm in. I'm all in, baby. That's sad. I wish people only cared about what was true and focused on what was true. But here's Alex Jones, whose show has exploded in popularity. And by the way, he's still, according to him, which who knows if you can believe him at all, he still talks to President Trump. Well, that's good. Next, in the next phone call, please bring up the interdimensional blight and succubus and all the PhDs and psychologists and atheists who talk about how we know there's demon possession and the vector is the TV. Yeah, because that's not all totally, completely, you know, horseshit nonsense. That's not Pat Robertson-level televangelist garbage. That's exactly what it is. Okay. All right, let me take a final break here. When we come back, in Iowa, there's a union-busting bill we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the immigration raids. We're going to talk about a new bill proposed on abortion that you're going to want to hear. And if we have time, the fucking beheading that somebody got away with. Yeah, wild. All right, so all that, much more. Stay right there. Don't go anywhere. Boom shagalaga, bitch. We'll be right back. Yeah. Apparently, I don't know what ICE is either, but let me lay it out for you anyway. ICE, or Immigration and Customs Enforcement, has stepped up with raids under President Trump. So they detained 680 immigrants last week in Los Angeles, Chicago, Atlanta, San Antonio, and New York City. Now, about 75% of the immigrants arrested had been convicted of a crime. So this is something that happened a lot under Obama, and there wasn't much talk about it. There wasn't much anger about it. There wasn't much outrage over it. There wasn't much marching in the street. There wasn't much of anything. So you have to be realistic about what's going on here and understand that this does appear to be magnified more under a Republican president, and it gets more coverage under a Republican president because his rhetoric is openly hostile. So they look for the hostile actions and they go, oh, look, he's doing all these raids. Whereas Obama's rhetoric was mostly nice, and when he did the raids, people were so what's my whole thing on this? On this one, I'm actually a little bit more centrist than probably many people in my audience. So if you're talking about undocumented immigrants who are criminals, I'm fine with deporting them. And it was the same for Obama, but again, he went further. He broke the record on deportations. He did more deportations than George Bush. I think he did over 2 million deportations. So Obama's too conservative on that. But I'm fine with deporting undocumented immigrants who are criminals as long as the crime is something I really think should be a crime. Like, if it's just a drug crime or something, then I wouldn't deport them because I don't think that should be a crime. But if it's, you know, some sort of violent crime or something, yeah, I would deport them, and I'm totally fine with that. Now, here's where I differ from Trump and from probably Obama, too, and a lot of people in this debate in Washington. If they are not guilty of a crime, I would never ship them out. In fact, the people who are here, and they're here illegally, but they're law-abiding citizens, and they work, and, you know, they're productive members of society, I definitely would set up some sort of a process to make them legal citizens, even though they didn't go about it that way when they first came in. Because there are a million reasons why somebody would come here illegally. I mean, can you blame somebody who's from, like, a a very poor area or a conflict-ridden area, whether it's a refugee or an immigrant or whatever, who they just want a better life for their kids. I mean, that's the whole point of the American dream. That's the whole point of being a human being, is you want to improve your situation, improve your quality of life, and make it better for your kids. And I can't fault somebody for that. And if they've showed the initiative to get here, and then they become productive in the context of a foreign land to them where all they wanted was a shot and they're taking advantage of that shot, how can I punish that person? How could I ship him out? So I don't know, the 75% of them that were convicted of a crime, I don't know what crimes they were, okay? So let me be clear about that. And there's no information on that that's publicly available yet. But if they were 75% of them were guilty of crime and they were drug crimes, don't fucking do the raids and kick them out. That goes for Obama, that goes for Trump, that goes for everybody. But if it's violent crimes, yeah, I'm fine with deporting them. But that other 25%, definitely don't fucking touch them, man. You're ruining lives, and for what? For what? I'm very much in favor of high-skilled immigrants coming in this country. I'm very much in favor of immigrants coming in this country who are productive citizens, who follow the laws. And I don't think, again, so other people on the right would say, well, they broke the law when they came here. That's not, to me, that's not a horrific crime. It's not. I mean, it's, again, I think the reasons why they come here are, unless it's a criminal who's, you know, coming to raise hell or whatever, in the overwhelming majority of cases, people are coming here because they want a better life and they want an opportunity. And they're not just coming here looking for a handout. In fact, many government programs, they don't apply to the undocumented immigrants. They're undocumented. They can't apply for those programs. Duh. So, and many of them, they end up paying taxes still. You know, what is it? Over $10 billion in taxes are paid by undocumented immigrants. So, yeah, you got to work with those people and help those people out and make them citizens. And look, and I also, again, I say I'm a centrist or a moderate on the issue of immigration because I also have no problem with enforcement of border protection. That's fine. I mean, every country has a border, and it's your right to do what you want at your fucking border. That's fine. But for people who are undocumented who are here, who are good people working hard, of course I'm going to fucking make them citizens and give them a process to, or a path to citizenship. So it is weird to see the double standards in full effect. Like, I didn't even see any reporting on it when it was Obama. It was very rare you'd see reporting on these raids, but they happened. But now people are paying more attention. I hope that we can use the new attention to come up with the best solution, which, again, in my mind is violent criminals, fine, go. And people who are working hard, let's be reasonable and give them a path to citizenship. But they're not going to do that. Trump's deporting people even who aren't criminals, like I just described for you. And they're not interested in a path to citizenship. So they're way too far right-wing on the spectrum. Obama was too far right-wing on the spectrum, but Trump is even further right-wing on the spectrum because it's clear that he's also targeting people who are not criminals. And he's also doing it in the daytime, which is a little different. Apparently under Trump, under Obama, they did it at night. I don't know if it makes it better or worse, but I think the point is to do it so everybody sees it so that you get scared and it tries to disincentivize people from being undocumented immigrants and coming in the country. So I don't know. But that's the breakdown here, and it'll be interesting to see what happens moving forward. Okay, next. An Oklahoma representative named Justin Humphrey proposed a bill to force women to get a man's approval before an abortion. Damn. So here's what he said to The Intercept. I believe one of the breakdowns in our society is that we have excluded the man out of all of these types of decisions. I understand that they feel like that is their body, but I feel like it is a separate. What I call them is you're a host. And you know when you enter into a relationship, you're going to be that host. And so you know if you pre-know that, then take all precautions and don't get pregnant. So that's where I'm at. I'm like, hey, your body is your body and be responsible with it. But after you're irresponsible, then don't claim, well, I can just go and do this with another body. when you're the host and you invited that in. I don't think this guy understands the damage he does to his own cause by talking. It's like, what's that guy's face again? Todd Aiken, I think his name is. I think that was it, where he spoke about legitimate rape. He's like, I think he was against an exception for abortions even when there's a rape that happened. And then when they asked him why, he's like, well, you know, if it's a legitimate rape, and people were like, legitimate rape? So these guys, man, they don't know how extreme they are. They really don't. Like, look at how fucking crazy you sound. He didn't even realize he just dehumanized the shit out of women. Okay, look, I get it. Your body, right, I get that. But, I mean, let's keep it real. You're a host. A host? Yeah, you're just hosting the kid. That's my kid. That's the next generation. So it's like we could discard of you afterwards. You're just a host. You're just the incubation fucking chamber. And then the thing comes out here, and then we're done. You can go away now. Look, man, I cringe at this. And as everybody knows who's listened to the show for an extended period of time, this is another issue where I consider myself a centrist. I consider myself a moderate. I say that a lot nowadays, but it's true. On the issue of abortion, I always said that I agree with Roe versus Wade. And Roe versus Wade is actually a very moderate moderate court decision. It is, technically. It's not legislation. But the idea is, okay, it's a right for a woman to have an abortion up to a certain point, and then after that point, the individual states can regulate it as they see fit and as they deem appropriate. So like late-term abortion, most states say, no, you can't get a late-term abortion unless it fits into these, you know, these specific exceptions, like if there was a rape or if there was incest or if the life of the mother is in danger or if the fetus won't make it either way because there's a defect. So that's what I agree with. I think you draw the line at like when the nervous system is developed and the fetus can feel pain, and then after that, only the rarest exceptions like I just laid out for you. And I think that's the right approach. That's a moderate approach. But look at how far away this guy is. See, we're having an actual discussion about abortion and, hey, where do you draw the line? And let's think about this. And how do you weigh the rights and the independence and the individuality of the woman versus at what point are you talking about actually inflicting harm upon this entity that will become a human? That's a real discussion on abortion. Look at the point he's making. Off the fucking spectrum. You know, you're really a host. And the idea is to have a man approve it whenever they want an abortion. Yeah, you gotta get the approval of the man. Approval of the man? What are you talking about? So, you're 2 weeks in. I override your decision to, terminate the pregnancy. And by the way, does this approve morning after pill too? Who knows? Who fucking knows? Who knows? I think women should flip this logic back on guys like this and say, well, look, man, you want to go back that far? To like the moment of conception. Now it's a person. Everybody's a person. Shut the fuck up. Everybody shut the fuck up. It's a person and he has full rights and Second Amendment rights. And I'm going to go buy him a rifle right now. Well, why not flip it back on this guy? Look, man, I just want to let you know, anytime you want to jerk off, you got to go talk to, your significant other first. And she has to approve it. Because, I mean, you're jerking off. When you nut, you're killing millions of potential babies. That's what you're doing. So, you know, if you want to say, hey, I get to choose whether or not you get to have an abortion or terminate the pregnancy or whatever, you know, well, then we're going to flip it back on you. And she gets to say whether you're allowed to jerk off. And, hey, maybe there are some significant others who say you're never allowed to do that. So you only get to come for procreation. You open this door, they're just walking through it. So, no, stop being ridiculous. On some level, you have to know that's a ridiculous thing. Like, come on, really? Anytime an issue arises, you got to prove it with the man. I mean, that's like treating women as property. I mean, that's some real old school shit. And what's hilarious is these are the same people who, and we discussed this story, I think it was in Arkansas recently. They proposed a bill just like this. And then the next day they proposed a bill. We're against Sharia law, so we're proposing a no Sharia law bill. So they say no theocracy if it's Muslims, but we're going to pass our own theocratic-like bills. There was another one, it was attached to that bill, that it was like, we're defining marriage as between a man and a woman. So in a bill where you're saying we can't have theocracy, you're putting in your own theocracy. They're so stupid, I can't take it. The same thing with this garbage. So, God, Justin Humphrey of Oklahoma, go away. That's all I have to say to you. Okay, next. There's been a gradual embrace of authoritarian speech policies in Europe. That's actually pretty alarming. So listen to this from the Wall Street Journal. They say, European Union Justice Commissioner Vera Jourova, I'm definitely mispronouncing that, has warned tech companies such as Facebook and Twitter that if they don't find ways to eliminate hate speech and combat fake news, a law mandating action may be necessary. Commissioner Andris Ansip reinforced that threat last month, albeit in softer language, promoting social media giants and traditional media to announce a flurry of initiatives aimed at combating fake news. Italy's antitrust chief, Giovanni Pietrangela, has said that EU countries should set up a network of government-appointed bodies to remove fake news and potentially impose fines on the media. Pietrangela doesn't hide his political agenda. He wants to target his opponents on the populist left and right. Quote, post-truth in politics is one of the drivers of populism and is one of the threats to our democracies, he told the Financial Times. In Germany, politicians eager to counter Russian meddling in populist movements in upcoming parliamentary elections have issued similar calls. Justice Minister Heiko Maas argues that authorities need the power to impose prison terms for fake news on social media. Okay, I cannot disagree with this strongly enough. This is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. Have none of you read Orwell? What are you going to, Ministry of Truth? Is that what you want to set up? Understand something. You can't regulate the truth value of news and ban fake news and put people in prison for fake news because who's going to watch the watchmen? The people who are in power have an agenda. And their agenda is, you know, we want to stay in power. We are the establishment. So things, news stories that are run that are complementary or neutral towards the establishment, fine. But if you speak out against the establishment, he said one of the things that led to a rise in populism is post-truth politics. No! One of the things that led to a rise in populism is your establishment ass fucking everything up and leaving the people behind. That's why there's populism, because the corporations have been screwing people this entire time. From the 1980s and onward, there's been a flat line in wages in the United States. There's been issues in Europe as well. You're not as responsive to the people as you should be, and so there's a rise in populism. Now, look, this isn't me saying that there isn't such thing as actual fake news. I mean, of course, there are conspiracies that are out there that are total garbage. And there are stories that are not true, like the Pope endorsing Trump that was big on Facebook. And is that a problem? Yes. But don't come up with a solution that compounds the problem and may even be worse than the problem. I'd rather have the occasional batshit conspiracy get some legs than have an official body that determines everything that is true and false and punishes people that disagree with their own narrative. So rather have freedom and every now and then a shitty story blows up than have tyranny and oppression and government censorship and banning where they totally control the narrative and you never get things. Because here's what happens. There was I think it was in the Washington Post, there was a list of all these fake news sites. There were a bunch of sites on there that are not anywhere near fake news, that always run, or most of the time run, factual stories. I mean, maybe every now and then something slips by the editors that's not true, but the overwhelming majority of the time. So they're like trying to say that WorldNet Daily, which is a far right-wing conspiracy site, which does make shit up, and they pretended one time that Obama, there was a demon that ran in front of the camera for Obama when he was in Kenya. They ran that story like it was serious. Demons, it's a fact, here's a story. So they equate sites like WorldNet Daily to Truth Dig. You can't do that because that's not true. But that's what they want to do. They want to say, hey, here are the official government-approved bodies, the Ministry of Truth, only listen to this. And what's going to happen is they're only going to do propaganda for the powerful, and real stories are going to be swept up in the dragnet of where against fake news. And even the idea of banning hate speech. Look, man, are there real bigots out there who really say hateful things? Of course. You don't ban it. You can't ban it. Because then where the fuck is the line? Like, if it's a direct threat of violence, everybody agrees that should be illegal. Even in the U.S., with our First Amendment and our free speech absolutism, everybody says you can't do a direct threat of violence. That's against the law. But if you just say something hateful, so what, are you going to ban hateful opinions? That's crazy. I mean, what, do you want to lock somebody up for believing the wrong things? Where do you draw the line? Okay, so we're banning, I don't know, a neo-Nazi from saying some shit. Why not go a step further? How about a neo-Confederate? They're not as bad as Nazis, but they're pretty openly racist. Why stop there? Why not just your run-of-the-mill 72-year-old racist dude in Mississippi? Hey, you know, we're not going to allow you to speak because you believe bad things. Where does that end? And you think it's, oh, it's only going to be used on bad people. They'll eventually flip it back on you, bitch. They'll say, hey, your ideology, I mean, look, I know you believe in social democracy, but that sounds a little bit too much like communism to me. So we think you're doing hate speech, and we're going to lock you up. You can't do it, man. Just because we think people are loathsome, and they might actually be loathsome, like, that doesn't mean, like, a Ted Cruz supporter finds me loathsome. Should they be able to censor me? If they get in control of the government, should they be able to say, I declare everything that Secular Talk says is fake news, so there's going to be fines and imprisonment? You can't go down this road. How do you not fucking know this, European Union? Fuck, man. No way, no way, no way. You really want to try this? And if they do go down this road, it's hilarious that they're still saying, they're threatening our free democracies. That's what they're saying. Your proposal makes it not a free democracy, you idiot. Your proposal is tyranny, is authoritarianism, is controlling speech. How do you not know that? Maybe they do know that, and it's cynical. I don't know. But either way, not acceptable, and everybody needs to rise up against it. Okay. All right, more. I have a story here for you that's so utterly ridiculous that I originally thought it was fake, but it isn't. So RT explains, a schizophrenic man that beheaded a bus passenger who was a total stranger to him in Canada has been allowed to walk free. Canadian authorities don't view him as a significant threat to the public. What? And won't monitor him to ensure he takes his medication. Will Baker, formerly known as Vince Lee, was granted an absolute discharge by the Criminal Code Review Board in the Canadian province of Manitoba on Friday. The board is of the opinion that the weight of evidence does not substantiate that Mr. Baker poses a significant threat to the safety of the public. The gruesome murder took place on a Greyhound bus back in 2008 when Baker was sitting next to Tim McLean, a 22-year-old carnival worker whom he had never met before. The young man reportedly smiled at Baker and asked him how he was doing. Baker claimed that he heard the voice of God tell him to kill McLean or die immediately. The man then repeatedly stabbed the 22-year-old, beheaded him as passengers fled the bus in shock. They let him go. They let him go. They let him go, and again, they said, it's too strict of us to even say that we need to monitor to make sure that you take your schizophrenia medicine, so, you know, this doesn't happen again. I'm speechless. Okay. Too liberal. You're too fucking liberal. This is as liberal as it gets, man. Yeah, all right, he beheaded somebody, but look, since then, he's been a really model citizen. And we all make mistakes, you know, like some people cheat on their girlfriends or their boyfriends, other people behead people, but look, you made some mistakes. So we're going to give you a second chance, and no, we're not even going to monitor to make sure you take your medicine. Stop. Stop. This is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life. This is dumb. Like, you're just dumb if you think this is okay. Here's my rule on beheadings. Strike one, you're out. That's it. Now, understand, if it's genuinely because of a schizophrenic episode, so I get it. He's less culpable than an ISIS guy who does it because he wants to behead you because of, you know, it's for religious reasons, and the intent and the motive is there. And he says, I want to behead you. This other guy, it was a schizophrenic break, so he's in an alternate reality and he's hallucinating and all this. So I get it. It's a less lower level beheading, even though that sounds gross to say. But okay, then you keep him in a facility that's for mental health for his life, and you make sure he takes his medicine, and you don't have you let him fucking have. If it's a mental health facility, you don't need 23-hour lockdown. You could have him, you know, involved in more things and around other patients as long as he's on his medication and he can, they can have more freedom. You want to play tennis on this day, whatever. You want to fucking watch TV on that day. You want to play board games. You want to do this. You want to do that. That's fine. But to let him go, no. To let him go and not even check to make sure he's taking his medication, we might have to fire your ass. If you're the board that made that decision. So, and people are going to say, or at least the people who made this decision would say, yeah, but you're an American and your system is grotesque and it's too punitive. Yeah, but that's true, and I agree to that. But you just took the spectrum and put it all the way on the other end, where you're forgiving beheadings. Hell no. That's not going to happen. I don't agree with that. And I do think this is too liberal. And, in fact, I think it's just crazy if you would let this guy go and not even fucking check to make sure he's taking his medication. All right, next. Hassan Nasrallah, the leader of Hezbollah, had some harsh words for President Donald Trump. Here's what he said. We are very optimistic that when an idiot settles in the White House and boasts about his idiocy, this is the beginning of relief for the oppressed around the world. I don't know why you think that. Trump has revealed the true face of the U.S. administration, which is ugly, unjust, criminal, and racist. Okay, Hassan, I don't know why you think that it is the beginning of relief for oppressed around the world when an idiot takes over, an idiot who is, and I quote, ugly, unjust, criminal, and racist. Pretty sure he's going to put the oppression in overdrive. But here's why I'm doing this segment. So for those of you who don't know, Hezbollah is actually fighting ISIS, and they're fighting ISIS in Syria, and they've aligned themselves with the Syrian government in the fight against ISIS. So, but, dude, Donald Trump doesn't know that. Donald Trump famously didn't know the difference between Hamas and Hezbollah during a radio interview during the campaign. He didn't know the difference between the Kurds and the Quds Force. So these are the super basic things. There was evidence he didn't even really know the difference between Sunni and Shia. So he's just an ignorant buffoon who doesn't fucking know anything. So when you're the head of Hezbollah, and in the mind of Trump and his supporters, Muslim, you're a Muslim. When you say he's an idiot and, this is the real face of America, ugly, unjust, criminal, racist, yada, yada. Dude, be careful. He might think, like, you're ISIS. I'm serious. Like, he probably thinks Hezbollah equals ISIS, Al-Qaeda. Like, a lot of people, like, I know some people in Lebanon, and I'll mention it to them, and they'll be like, really? Like, they don't know the difference between Hezbollah and Al-Qaeda and ISIS? Like, yeah, no, they really don't. They really don't know Sunni and Shia, Kurds, Quds Force. They don't know. They don't know. They don't know. They don't know. So, dude, Hezbollah, just keep fighting ISIS and pipe down. Because you never know what Trump's liable to do. He's fucking come in one day and say, oh, I'm the idiot. Huh? That's what I am. You think I'm an idiot? Sad. Yeah, blow everything up. So pump your brakes a little bit here, son. But that's the point we're at now where even fucking leader of Hezbollah is calling the leader of the U.S. an idiot, and it's hard to disagree because I think that's true. Okay. And the final story of the day. The Guardian is reporting on a new crackdown against protesters. They say the FBI is investigating political activists campaigning against the Dakota Access Pipeline, diverting agents charged with preventing terrorist attacks to instead focus their attention on indigenous activists and environmentalists. The Guardian has established that multiple officers within the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force have attempted to contact at least three people tied to the Standing Rock Water Protector movement in North Dakota. The purpose of the officer's inquiries into Standing Rock and scope of the task force's work remains unknown. Agency officials declined to comment. But the fact that the officers have even tried to communicate with activists is alarming to free speech experts who argue that anti-terrorism agents have no business scrutinizing protesters. So this is outrageous, and as I read this, I was reminded of the fact that the FBI spied on Martin Luther King, and they even sent him a letter basically saying, look, how dare you? You're a fucking philandering piece of shit, so stop doing what you're doing. And you should kill yourself. They try to get him to commit suicide. The fuck? So the government is undermining and subverting and putting up roadblocks to people's constitutional rights, their civil liberties, their human rights, and the First Amendment, free speech, free expression, free protest. And here you have really brave people who are standing up against this shitty fucking pipeline. By the way, a pipeline blew up very close to the pipeline that Standing Rock is fighting. So the Standing Rock Sioux are fighting. So they act like, oh, it's totally safe. I don't know what you're talking about. Actually, no. And furthermore, they diverted it. It was supposed to go through, I think, Bismarck, but they diverted it because it was a white community that was like, we don't want that pipeline here. So they're like, oh, great. We'll just put it through the Native Americans' territory. Oh, come on, man. Come on. So you have these people who are doing this brave thing where they're standing up and fighting back, and this is the payback they get. People, FBI agents who are supposed to be focusing on terrorism. By the way, another thing Trump did, he said, oh, yeah, all the people who are fighting, who are tasked with looking into domestic right-wing terror groups like Sovereign Citizens, KKK, neo-Nazis, and stuff like that, all the people who are looking at that, no more, none of that at all. Now all Islamic terrorism. All of it Islamic terrorism? All of it. Even though there's been, as a raw number, there's been more right-wing terror attacks in the U.S.? Okay, look, if you wanted to change some of it and say, okay, I'm going to take some people from right-wing terror and put them on Islamic terror, but I'm still going to have some looking into right-wing terror, that's one thing. But he said no more, all looking at Islamic terror. And now, apparently, what they're looking at is Islamic terror and environmentalists and protesters. This is your government acting as your enemy. We need to rise up and fight back. All right, guys, out of time. Love you. We will see you tomorrow. Mwah. Peace.